Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you turn to John chapter 13. Well, I've read this scripture before here, but I'm going to read it again. Hallelujah. The Lord is taking us to a place in Him, to a place that He has already prepared. Hallelujah, that we could walk into. Amen. The place where we are alive in the Father, where we are the very life of God in this earth, where His love and His life and His nature flows so freely that others around us take notice, where lives around us begin to change. I'm reminded I was at a meeting this week. One of the ladies that I work with, I didn't even remember praying for her. I think it was just a quick prayer, but she was telling everybody, she was all excited how I healed her, you know. Well, you healed me, you know. I said, no, I prayed for you. You know, God healed you, which was fine. I mean, I know what she meant, and other people did. She said, well, you laid hands on me, and I haven't had any trouble since. And that was months ago. I said, well, praise God. That's awesome. You know, she says, but then she says, well, I got some things I need. I got a lot of repenting to do. I said, well, He's good for that too, you know. We'll see. I'm believing. Amen. We'll see her here one day. Hallelujah. Maybe sooner than I think. But God's taken us to a place where He gets to do what He wants to do. Amen. And we don't get to do what we want to do, but we do what we love too, because we love what He loves, because we're one with Him in that place with the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, John chapter 13, I want to start in the 32nd verse. Well, let's start with 31. Just start right there. Okay. It says, therefore, when He was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in Him. If God be glorified in Him, God shall also glorify Him in Himself, and shall straightway, or immediately, glorify Him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you. He said, where I'm going, you cannot come right now. He's telling His disciples, you can't come right now. But here in just a minute, you're going to be able to come. He said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Simon Peter said to Him, Lord, whither thou goest, where are you going to go? Where are you going, Jesus? Anybody ever wondered, Jesus, where are you taking me? Where are we going? Where are you going, Lord? Where are you? Anybody ever been in one of those places? I'm not sure where I am, Lord. Where are you? I've been looking. But He said, where I go, to Peter, He says, Peter, where I go, you can't follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. You're going to get ready. I'm getting ready for you to be able to follow me to where I'm going. So where was He going? Where is Jesus going? Peter's asking, where are you going, Lord? I don't get it. I mean, they're all saying, Lord, you know, the way you know, anyway, let's go on. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Verse 37. Peter said unto Him, Lord, why cannot I follow Thee now? I will lay down my life for Your sake. Lord, I remember one time I was just praying and I was thinking, Lord, let's just do it. You know, I'm ready, God. Why can't I just go and do what You've called me to do? I lay down my life. My life belongs to You. The Lord began to speak to me. He said, son, I'm pulling out the roots so that you can do more. said, as you're laying your life down, praying in the Holy Ghost, giving your life to me, I'm pulling out those roots that would hold you back from following me to the completeness of the place that I have prepared for you. I want you to go all the way into me. I want you to be able to follow me all the way in every area of your life where there's nothing held back, where you're sold out to me. This year is all about, amen? So Peter's saying, Lord, why can't I follow you right now? He said, I will lay down my life for your sake. But Jesus, now he couldn't follow him because Jesus hadn't yet died on the cross. He hadn't yet prepared that place. He said, I'm getting ready to. He said, I'll lay down my life for your sake. Jesus answered him, will you lay down your life for my sake? Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say to you, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice or three times. Peter, you're going to deny me three times. But, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, or we'd say dwelling places or rooms. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, a lot of times people think Jesus is talking here. He said, I'm going to come to you again. He's thinking, they're thinking, well, yeah, he's going to come again in the second coming, but that's not what he's talking about. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. He said, I'm getting ready to be crucified. I'm getting ready to die on the cross. I'm getting ready to go and make it possible for you to receive the same Spirit that I have will be available to you so that where I am with the Father now, alive unto Him, you can be also alive unto me. Everybody said, well, I thought there were mansions in heaven. There might be. I don't know. I hadn't been there personally. And we get excited about having a mansion. But I think in heaven, just like if you left here, right, we took all our money with us, and they said, would you bring, you know, and you got bars of gold. They said, pavement? You know, pavement? Even bad pavement. It doesn't even look as good, you know. And the Bible says, you know, that in heaven, gold is crystal clear. They say if you can get it purified enough, you can see right through it. And God wants us to be vessels of honor, doesn't He? Vessels of gold. He said, I have vessels of dishonor that you use all the time. You know, vessels that you just have in your cupboard. You grab a glass, you get some water and so forth. But then you got your nice china. Where is it? Oh, it's over in the china cabinet. What do you keep that for? Special occasion. Times when we want to celebrate. God said, I want to take you to the place where you and I can celebrate every day together, where you can be a vessel of honor to me, where you, Peter, can know me just like I know the Father. You can know the Father. As you've known me here, you've seen me. And he goes on. He says, where I go, you know. And the way you know. Well, I thought Peter said, what's the way? How could he know the way if Jesus is telling him you know the way? Thomas says to him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way? How is it possible that we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If he had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it'll suffice us. We'll be satisfied. Show us the Father. Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Don't you believe it? I'm in the Father and the Father in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. And he goes on to say to our special verse here that everyone touches on. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. He says, and whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So what's he talking about here? What's Jesus really saying? What is being asked here is, what's the way, Jesus? You said you're going away. We don't know the way. What is the way? He said, I am the way. Why is he the way? Because he says, I'm getting ready to prepare that way for you to come unto the Father. And I know it's simple, but it's still very profound in the sense that Jesus says, I'm going to make rooms for you. I'm going to prepare this place that you can be just like me. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Can you believe that? What's getting ready to happen now is I'm going to allow you to be in the Father and the Father to be in you. That you can be one with the Father as I am one with the Father. Because this was the desire of the Father from the beginning. He said a desire. He made man, what? After his image. In the image of God created he them. Male and female. Hallelujah. Everybody's happy about that. Adam was there for a little while, but it didn't take long for him to get lonely, did it? Hallelujah. God completed him, completed them, placed them in the garden, a place of perfection with the Father, one with him, knowing God intimately and completely, able to walk with the Father in the cool of the day. And you think about that, it's hard to imagine how it must have been just perfect, because the earth is no longer perfect. But the perfectness of it must have been just the right temperature. Everything had to have been just right. But to know the Father was the key. Jesus says, I'm going to make a way. He said, I've been with you and you've seen me. He said, Philip, you know, Thomas is here. He says, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? How can we? Peter's here, he chimes up. So Thomas asks, and Jesus says, I am that way. I am not a way. I am not one way. He said, I am the way. He said, the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm the only way. I'm the only truth. I am the only life. You're not going to find it anywhere else except in him, in Jesus. Today, there's a lot of talk that there's many paths to God, but I got news for you. There's one way if you want to know the true and the living God, and his name is Jesus. It's Christ, or you're going to perish. You're not going to make it. You're going to be lost for an eternity. Amen. There is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain, but we got a way that we can know the Father. He prepared a place that you can be one with him. He said, if you'd known me, you'd have known the Father also. From now on, or henceforth, you're going to know him. And you've seen him. So Philip's going, says to the Lord, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. What are you talking about, Jesus? Could you imagine the disciples trying to understand, Jesus, why do you have to go away? Why are you leaving? Where are you going? How can we follow? How can we possibly have seen the Father? All we see is you. It's all the natural mind trying to figure out all these things. And we even see that today, don't we? People trying to figure out salvation with the natural mind and even the Bible apart from God. We really can't understand it. But when we receive this place that we go to, we receive the nature of God, then we can begin to understand it, because we have something like what Jesus had to understand it with. We have that nature that's now alive to God. Before, it was not alive to God and couldn't understand the things of God. It was impossible. They were spiritually discerned. So when a sinner doesn't understand everything you say, we understand. Because we were one once. You said, well, I was never a sinner. Yes, you were a sinner. All of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Well, the reason I say that is because there was a guy one time and he said, I don't have any need to repent. I haven't done anything wrong. I'm a good person. And he exhibited nice things, and he was a kind man. Seemed kinder than some Christians, some people that were born again. But it's not based on what you did, but on what Christ did. Our faith is not in our works and our goodness, but in His perfectness. He said, I'm going to prepare a way, because you can't get there any other way. The law won't take you there. You can't get good enough. You're never going to make it any other way. He that comes in another way, John said in the 10th chapter, what's a thief and a robber? Because Jesus is that door. He is that way into the fullness of the Father. To know God Almighty. Hallelujah. The only way we're really going to understand Him and know Him is through Jesus Christ. It's through knowing Him and receiving Him and believing that He is that way. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, Jesus says, where I am. He was already alive to the Father. But He says, where I am in the Father, the very intimate bosom of the Father, that you can then know His heart and He can know you and be known of Him. Amen. We'll know Him. He'll know us. Will be one with the Father in that place. It's a place of the fullness of His love, a place of the fullness of all that He is. Hallelujah. Because Jesus said, we're actually born of the Father. We become what? A new species of being that didn't exist before. We become that new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man's in Christ, old things, what old things? The old nature, the old man, that person that was dead to God, said it's passed away, but a new person came in, a new man. He said, all things became new. All things become new. Not on the outside. I didn't get a full head of hair. If you were bald, you know, nothing seemed to change. I didn't lose 50 pounds, unfortunately. No. But, you know, the natural man, the outside man, didn't change immediately, but that inner man changed and was taken into the place where he can now know the Father and be known of Him. He said, Jesus said, if you knew me, you should have known my Father also. Should have seen Him. You should have known how He is. At least seen the works. And you would have known. This is how the Father is. Philip says, but Lord, show us the Father. Jesus said to him, have I been this long time with you? Yet have you not known me, Philip? And sometimes I wonder if God says, Brother Doug, have you been with me this long and you don't know me? But I'm getting to know Him. We're all learning, we're all growing, we're all maturing into the fullness of who He is. And knowing the Father, as we spend time with Jesus and we see Him in the pages of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus said, if you see what I do, you see how the Father would do what the Father would do. You know, I had a man the other day, I didn't even think about it. He says, well, I'm going to the doctor to get checked out. I have cancer in my lungs. I said, really? I said, well, all you need is a miracle. All you need is a miracle. He said, well, I don't think they have a cure for that. I said, but God does. And I just prayed for him. Just simple prayer. Cancer, I curse you. Get out of that body in the name of Jesus. Sometimes you have to get mad at the devil. M-A-D means miracles and deliverance. Sometimes you got to stay mad at the devil. Get tired of his works. His works were destroyed at the cross. And all that Jesus desires to do is come in. And sometimes you just got to get a little mad. And let miracles and deliverance take place. I said, cancer, get out of that body. Right now. In Jesus' name. And I didn't know anything. You know, I just didn't feel anything. There wasn't any goosebumps. And I wasn't drunk in the spirit. Which I'm not condemning that. I'm really not. I know people are sincere in their heart. And they mean well. But sometimes, you know, if all I am is drunk in the spirit, I'm good for nothing else, then how's God going to really use me? You know? Well, could you lay hands on these people? Oh, I can't even stand up. Well, we need some people that can stand up. We really do. Because I'm not really interested in people falling out in the power. I'm wanting them to get up under the power of God. Amen? How many are ready for some wheelchairs to get up? Glory to God. People that are bedbound to get up. Hallelujah. You know, the disciples didn't say, you know, they said, get up and walk. Come on, let's go. And the man leaped immediately, jumped to his feet. Now, I haven't always seen, you know, I haven't seen a lot of miracles like that. There's been a few things that were pretty good. But in the place of the Father, these are possible. Because Jesus says, believest thou not that I'm in the Father? The Father's in me. The words that I speak to you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. Now, if I'm going to be in the Father as Jesus is in the Father, then the works that the Father does, he'll do through me. Now, this man went to the hospital. Thought I forgot, didn't you? Anyway, he went and got checked out. He didn't go to the hospital. He went to the doctor. And he came back, and he's just telling me quietly. He said, it's just gone. He said, the cancer's not doing anything. It's just done. They said I was really bad. But it's gone. I mean, it's just disappeared. He said, I got a friend of mine. You think he could pray for him? Hallelujah. Well, sure, I'll pray for him if he wants prayer. You know, if somebody doesn't want you to pray for him, I don't pray for him because they're not going to get anything. So, well, how do you know that? They don't want it. They don't want it. Because sometimes people really don't want you to pray for them, because if God heals them, then they got to decide there is a God, that he's real. I'm not talking about everybody. I know most people want to be healed. And you think, well, if they got healed, then they would believe. Not necessarily. Not everybody does. I've seen people get healed and they believe that Jesus is Lord, even that he raised from the dead, but they would not confess him. They wouldn't receive it for themselves. Although I do believe miracles give people's attention, they do want to listen to you. Get to be like this guy that's asking me. He says, I'm going to ask my friend, do you think you could pray for him? I said, sure. I could pray for him. Because he believes God will do the same thing for him. Amen. He's starting to get God's mind. Amen. If he'll do it for one, he'll do it for all, won't he? That's the heart of the Father. That's what he's saying. He's saying, I've been with you, Philip. Didn't you see when I healed them all? You saw the Father. Didn't you see when I had compassion and taught the multitude? You saw the Father. Didn't you see, Philip, when they were hungry? I didn't send them away hungry. I said, Father, bless the bread. Thank you, Father. I thank you. Didn't you see, Philip? When we went to Lazarus' tomb, and I said, Father, I know you always hear me, but for these people's sake. He said, my Father raises the dead. My Father feeds the hungry. My Father heals the sick. My Father brings truth to those that are lost. This is the heart of my Father. Don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? So the words I speak to you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, He does the works. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me, but for the very work's sake, by the works that He does through me. Hallelujah. Because I know you'll talk to people and say, well, I know God. No, you don't. Yeah, I talked to Him this morning. No. They'll say, no, you don't know God. Yeah, I know God. I say, well, how do you know God? He's in me. I and my Father, we're one. I'm here an assignment from heaven. Oh boy, now I know He's out there. You know, I mean, to the natural mind, you know, people are thinking, you know. But when we believe that the Father's in us and dwells in us, then what He says we can do. And miracles become easy. It's not just about miracles, because the Father's really after the heart of man. He wants souls one to Him. So if we have miracles and people aren't getting born again, that's a problem. But how many know if people start seeing miracles, they're going to be interested in hearing more about the Father? Amen. That Jesus is the way. And they'll believe readily. You know, a lot of times we want people to believe right now, don't we? That Jesus is Lord. We preach to them. We expect it. And that's good. We should. I mean, if you speak to somebody about the Lord, we don't just say, well, here, you know, I don't go to them and say, now, just start confessing me. Jesus be Lord of my life, and expect that they got born again. Because why? There's a little more information that they needed, wasn't there? They need to realize that Jesus is born of the Virgin. If they're in America, or we may need to go back. If they've heard nothing, you might have to go back to Genesis. In the beginning, God created man. Man had a fall. He disobeyed God. He fell from God. Yeah, but that's so simple. That's what people need to know. Because sometimes we get so caught up. I was listening to one evangelist, and he said, my problem is I get all kinds of preachers that want to come, but they will not discipline themselves to speak the gospel simply enough for people to really understand. Oh, okay, keep me simple, Jesus. You know, they fell, right? Man fell from God. He sinned against God. So man had a punishment. He was going to be separated from God forever. But God made a way back to Himself. The Father said, I'm going to send my Son, who was what? Born of a virgin. That's important. Why is that important? Because He didn't have the blood of man, but the blood of God. Now He had a nature that was alive unto God. He was the only one that was alive to God. So He could live a perfect life, a sinless life, and show the works and how the Father is, the love of the Father to all mankind. And the Bible says that the religious men crucified Him. He died on that cross. Why did He die on that cross? Because the Bible says sin was placed upon Him. That sin that man committed in the beginning that went to all men for all time was placed on Jesus. He was put in that grave. He was raised from the dead. The Bible says 3 days later He was raised from the dead. And He was alive and appeared to many. People on the earth saw Him after He rose from the dead. And then it says He ascended to the Father, where He sits at the right hand of God. And He's looking for you. He's making an intercession for you. He's saying, the blood is right here, Father. And He's gave that just for you. Almost too good to be true, but He wants you to know Him. And through Jesus, you can know Him. Bible says, whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now that's a simple illustration, but that is so powerful because the Bible says the gospel is the power of God to salvation. The good news, whether it's to 1, 100, 1,000, 10,000, 1,000,000, however many it reaches, the gospel is good news because it gives us and takes us to the same place that Jesus is in the Father. When you're in Christ, you're in the Father. When we receive Jesus, that nature that we receive, we begin to know and dwell in the love of the Father. And it begins that process, a life that's filled with Him. A life that can begin to know Him in all its fullness. He says, do you believe? He's telling me, he says, do you believe I'm in the Father? That the Father's in me? Can you believe that? Yeah. Yeah, we see that, Jesus. We know that you got the truth. You're in the Father and Father's in you. He's saying, I'm going to prepare that same place for you. That where I am, you can be also in the Father. You can know Him like I know Him. You can hear Him like I hear Him. He can live in you like He lives in me. This is what Jesus is telling the disciples. I'm getting ready to go and prepare that place. And then He went and did it. Hallelujah. He went and became that sacrifice, didn't He? Once for all men, it's available. It doesn't mean you're automatically born again. That's the other doctrine that's going around. Everybody's saved. Not everybody's born again. Not everybody knows the Father. Jesus said, I am the way. I'm the truth. I am that life. I guess I'm preaching the gospel this morning, but it's good news. How many times, you know, many times we forget we got to preach the gospel. It is the power of God to salvation. And that includes healing, deliverance, freedom, safety, soundness, wholeness. Hallelujah. It includes it all, doesn't it? Because Jesus paid it all. When people hear the good news, almost too good to be true. That's what gospel is. Almost too good to be true. But it is true. Glory to God. And Jesus went and He says, you've seen me this long, Philip, didn't you see the Father? When you look at Jesus, we see the heart of the Father. The desire of God. Thank you, Father. But He says, verily, verily, I say to you, verse 12, He said, believe me, I'm in the Father, the Father's in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. He said, verily, verily, I say to you, he that believes on me, on Jesus, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And we know that that greater work, what's that greater work that he'll do? We'll see others come into the kingdom, won't we? That work that will be able to take them. Amen. Jesus prepared that way. He was the one that did it. But we're the ones that are left here to say, would you like Jesus? You can come. Follow Him. You can know Him. You can come into the Father. You can know God like I know God, like Jesus knew God. You can know Him. You can know Him just like I do. You can receive Him and begin a journey down a path that will take you into the fullness of all that God is. Hallelujah. Anyway, and whatsoever you shall ask, so the greater works, he said, ye shall do also, and greater than these shall you do, or greater work, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now that's an amazing statement, isn't it? Now he's saying, you're going to be able to go directly to the Father and ask in my authority, in the authority that I give you as a son. So you're going to become a son just like I'm a son. You'll be able to go directly to the Father. It says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Then he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, he's going to keep my commandments. And he goes on. He said, I'm going to pray the Father, and he's going to send you another comforter. Another comforter. Hallelujah. That he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. He said he's going to get down. We're coming to the place he's going to be in you. Not for a little while, but for eternity, forever. He said, I'm going to send the comforter, the helper, the strengthener, the standby. Just like I am, one like myself, I'm here right now with you guys. But I'm sending that helper to help you, who's going to guide you into all truth. He's going to take you from where you are, and we continue to take off where I am and reveal to you the fullness of the Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many like the Helper? You like the Comforter? He's coming. He said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world sees me no more. But you see me. Because I live, you shall live also. So because I'm alive, you're going to be alive also. At that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and I in you. Well, I thought you just told us that. Yes, he did. He told him that. But he said, you're going to know that I'm in the Father. Why? Because you're going to be in the Father also. Hallelujah. That's good news. He said, you're going to be in the Father also. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. He's going to come. As we dwell in the Father, as we live in him, the Father lives in us. We're going to know him. He said, I will manifest myself. How many know Jesus did some manifesting in the Bible? Amen, didn't he? Many times we've seen it here, and Gary's mentioned it, shared several of the scriptures where Jesus healed them all. Not some. There was times when he healed some, but there's many times where he healed them all. He healed them all from the multitudes. Hallelujah. But he says, if you... Okay, let me see where I'm at. He that has my commandments, verse 21, and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Now, there's many ways that God manifests himself to us. Well, we looked at one. He said, I'm sending the comforter. He's going to comfort us, isn't he? We're going to know if we love him, he's going to love us. We're going to know the love of the Father. And we're going to know the same love. See, that's what he was talking about. The same love that I've loved with, you'll be able to love with. Why? Because you're in the Father. And the Father's in you. And it's him doing the works in you. If he does the works in you, how hard are the works to do? Where does it become hard? It becomes hard in our believing that we're in the Father, that the Father's really in us, and that the works that Jesus did, the same kind of work that he did, and the greater work of receiving people into the kingdom of God, where they can know the Father. So the place he's prepared is not so much, you know, there may be mansions in heaven. I don't know. I'm not going to argue about that. But what he's talking about is a place in the Father. where we can know Him intimately. We can know Him in His fullness. You know, the Bible said that Moses knew God's ways. The children of Israel saw His acts. See, why did Moses know God's ways? Because he was able to take time with the Father. He'd go up on the mountain for 40 days and nights, fasting and seeking the Father. And he began to know how God operated. He knew what God wanted. He heard God's voice. And how many think it's a good thing to hear God's voice and to know His voice? Amen. Just like Jesus did. You can know that voice as clearly as Jesus knew it. Now, some people would take exception to that. Well, you're not God. I know I'm not God. We're not going to be deity. We never will be. Don't plan on it. Not trying to be. But you are a son. You are an heir. You are one with the Father. You are in Him. And He's in you. And that same life that was in Christ dwells in us. And that place is available for any person that wants to go there. He said, if you'll love Me, I'll love you. He said, if you'll take My commandments. He said, whosoever will come after Me, follow Me. He's not going to leave us as an orphan. We're not orphans. We're not left alone. We have a comforter. We have a strengthener on the inside of that. Besides our born-again nature, we have the Holy Spirit who will come and dwell with us and guide us into all truth. Hallelujah. He said, I will pray. Let me read this again right here. Hallelujah. We got 15. Okay. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees Him not, neither knoweth Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and shall be in you. So I will not leave you comfortless. He says, I'm going to come to you. I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I'm not going to leave you alone. You're never alone. You have a Father that loves you. Hallelujah. Let's go to 1 John. And the same love that he was talking about here in 34, he said, new commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you, that you also love one another. By this love shall all men know that you're My disciples, if you have love one to another. So if we're in the Father and the Father's in us, then there's a love in us that people can see. It was given to us when we were born again, right? God said, what did He say? He said, the Holy Spirit sheds that love abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, by the Spirit that's within us. That new nature alone begins to shed that love on the inside of us. And that love is that same love that's what? In the Father. Why? Because you're in the Father. And the Father's in you. And you're one with Him. And if you're not one with Him, you can become one with Him. Hallelujah. And we become more as we begin to learn and grow and allow that Spirit of truth to reveal it. But 1 John 3:13 says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loves not his brother abides in death. Why does he abide in death? Because he doesn't know God. He's not yet born again. But whosoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, that we also ought to lay our lives down for the brethren. There's a laying down of our life that comes with the love of the Father. Just as Jesus laid down His life. He went to complete obedience, even to the point of death. And our stake is at the point of death. Jesus said we're to love not our lives even unto death. You know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and love not our lives unto death. And for us, not so much a physical death. The hard part is when you're still alive and yet you're dying to the things that hold you back. As I said earlier, the Lord had spoke to me about why I hadn't, you know, done certain things yet. I said, Lord, I want to go. Why can't I just go and do it? I see that you want to do these things. Let's go do it. This was several years ago, but quite a while ago. But it doesn't really matter when it was, because I thought, well, because he didn't think. It's not that he told me. He said, you can go and do some things. We'll have success. It'll be great and wonderful, you know, as far as it goes. But if you want to move into my fullness, he said, I want to take out the roots that are holding back you, holding back me from bringing my fullness through you. So in other words, you're saying you were holding back the hand of God from him being able to bring his fullness through me. Unfortunately, yes. But thank God that the Holy Ghost is our helper. And what does he help us do but to mortify the deeds of the flesh? Amen? That we can know the fullness of the love of the Father, because we're in him and he's in us. And in this place, we can lay down our life. Our life can be one with the Father. To the place where the works that we do are the works that he is already, he's doing through us, right? The words that we speak are his words speaking through you. Anybody ever said something to somebody and you didn't even realize? Well, I didn't know that blessed them. But you had already said it. It may open up a door to you. Don't take anything lightly. I mean, not that you have to try to make it happen, because it will happen. If you're praying in the Spirit, if you're seeking after the Father, things will begin to happen. I'm thinking of a time I said one word to one person, one sentence. And it opened a door that's still open to this day. I said, well, what were you doing? Were you preaching? No. I just come to church, go in the church. What would you say to him that was so exciting? Did you remember what you said? Nope. I didn't even remember it when they asked me. I just basically said to them, said, hey, brother, what's the Lord saying to you today? Just curious, what's the Lord saying to you today? Why'd you say that? I said, I'm not even sure why I said it. I didn't even remember saying it. But 2 years later, they came to me. Oh, do you remember what you said to me? They're all excited. I said a lot of things to a lot of people. I don't remember. I'm sorry. He said, we had a whole week-long conference on what you said to me. I said, you did? Well, praise the Lord. That's awesome. Well, I'm not saying that word opened the door. The door's going to be open anyway. If you have to kick it down, you can get the door open. If that's where God's leading you. Once you know it's him, then you can go in any direction he sends you. Amen? Because you're in the Father, and the Father's in you, and the works that you do, works that he does, you do also, excuse me. Because you're in the Father. But this particular word that was spoken blessed this person to the point where they just have an open door. They said, you come anytime. I want you to come, minister, do whatever. And I'll help you. Anyway, where am I, Lord? Hallelujah. Anyway, we're in the Father. Jesus says, I go, and I'm preparing that place for you. The place in the bosom of the Father where you can know me. How are we going to go there, Lord? He said, I'm the way. I'm that truth. I'm that life. And I'm going to send a comforter that's going to help you. The Spirit of truth is going to guide you into all truth. He's going to take you by the hand. Just like when I was here in this earth and I walked with you disciples, I'm going to walk with you hand in hand. And if you'll give time to the Holy Spirit who's within you, I'll cause you to see all that the Father is, all the glory of the Father will be available to you. Whatever you ask in my name, I'll begin to do it. Now, how many people here ever ask anything of the Father? Now, I'm going to ask another question. How many people believe they receive when you asked? Amen. Sometimes I think we forget. We get so caught up and we ask God. But did we say, Lord, I believe I've received that from Him and expect it? That's where faith comes in. Amen. So he that has my commandments, verse 21 of John 14, and keeps them, it is that he that loveth me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and I'm going to manifest. What does that mean when something's manifest? Isn't it shown to you? You begin to receive it. You see it. You know it. So that's what he said. I'm going to the Father. When you receive me, you're going to know that I'm in the Father. And you're going to know that you're in the Father. Why? Because the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're the child of God. We're a son and a daughter of God. And the love of the Father begins to be displayed through us and in us. And his desires begin to come forth. Amen. How many are going to take a little time with the Comforter, a little time with the Holy Spirit, and allow Him to continue to take us into the fullness of that place in the Father where all things are possible? There's nothing. We know there's nothing. Everybody says, you know, you can ask any Christian. They know, well, nothing's impossible with God. You know, like, you know, yeah, I know it could happen, but they're not really expecting anything to happen. Why? Because it takes faith. Faith begins to believe, it receives, because they ask the Father. When you're in the Father, you begin to know His love. And because you know His love, you know He'll do it for you. You know He won't hold anything back. He said, the same love, Jesus said, that's in me, you're going to have. You're going to know it. And most of us have tasted of it. And we've known the love of the Father. Where we're going to a place in the fullness of that love. Where all things are possible all the time. Why? Because the soul is being renewed. The mind is being renewed to who the Father is. And the Spirit of truth is teaching us and guiding us and leading us into that truth, into that place where we are dwelling in the Father. The Father's dwelling in us, and we know Him. There's no mistake about it. If my wife hears my voice, she doesn't think it's Gary calling her. You know, she doesn't think it's the cat or something else. She knows it's me. Why? Because we spent time together. When we spend time with the Spirit of God, we're going to know His voice. We're going to know what He says. We're going to know that He dwells with us. We're going to know that He's in us and for us and wants to do works through us. And it's not going to be something that we have to work up. You ever seen that? You see people that try to work something up? I remember one time I went, I was so disgusted. It really bothers me when people hurt people. You know, I mean, if they're sick, they're sick, you know. And this lady, I remember she had the back problem. And I mean, they were praying for her, and they're pushing on her back, and they're, you know, trying to get something to happen, and nothing was happening. It just wasn't happening. And I'm not for hurting people. I'm just not. I don't think God's for hurting people. I don't think I have to try to make God do something. You know, it was like everybody was praying, okay, let's pray again, you know, pray harder. You know, nothing was happening. And finally I said, please, please. And I asked if I could pray for her, you know. And the presence of God just came. And the power of God. And God wants to bring that. But we don't have to try to make something happen, was my point there. It was like, you know, we don't try to work something up. I'm not saying that we don't use all the faith we have. We do, from the inside. But God is also gentle. And He's kind. I don't know why I shared that exactly, but it bothers me because I don't believe God has to hurt people to get them healed. Okay, if they can't lift their arms up, then don't make them lift their arms up. Well, how are they going to get healed? By the presence and power of God, not by you and I, right? I'm not going to try to make something take place. This is something that comes from that place of the Father, where He dwells in me, and I know He's dwelling in me. I had an experience not too long ago where there's a guy, I was at a Quick Trip, and boom. Anybody ever had the presence of God just fall on you? You know, it just fell on me. And I began to talk to this man. I said, "You're a minister." I said, "You're having revival, aren't you?" I said, "The Lord wants to encourage you. Lay hands on the sick. Go have revival." He says, and I mean, he was just shocked. He just shocked. He said, "I had one of the worst days of my life. I needed that encouragement from the Father." I mean, these are the things that God wants to begin to allow to take place. I'm not bragging on who I am. It wasn't something I planned. But that presence that's within us, when we sense it, when we know it, because we dwell in Him, we're spending that time with Him. Every one of you has testimonies, I know. I've heard several from many different people, and they excite me. Well, you know, he got that person well, and I know I could have prayed for him. Well, yeah, you could have, but you weren't there. Okay? We need your testimony from the people that you know. You know, and I'm not trying to brag on who I am. I'm telling you who God is in us. And as we dwell in Him and allow the Holy Spirit, that Comforter, to help us to be more and more aware that He's with us. It's one thing I loved about Pastor Barbara. We'd be doing something. Oh, somebody's here for prayer. I mean, we're busy working. We're doing all kinds of things. He just stops everything. We're here for prayer. And God shows up. Because it teaches you God's with you wherever you are. All the time, not when you're just in the prayer closet. And, you know, sometimes we stop and say, well, this is we need to fast and pray and seek God. Well, sometimes it's not time for that. People need a miracle today. You know, do you want to stay another week with your pain? No. I don't like pain. I don't know why I'm on this right now, but I am. You know, I like my pains to leave. I know I've injured myself before, bleed God, and by the grace of God, He healed me. Hallelujah. I was able to receive. As we know, the love of the Father is going to be easy to receive because we're in the Father and the Father's in us. Amen. Hallelujah. And easier to give out. Amen. Praise you, Father. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your word. It's truth that lives and abides forever. That Jesus came and prepared the way to that place in the Father. The fullness of who you are, God. That we can come and know you and allow you to dwell within us. And we dwell within the Father. And Father, we thank you that you are going to manifest yourself in us, to us, and through us, Father, to a lost and a world that's dying, Father, that doesn't know you. We thank you, Father, and to a religious world, Father, that has been burned over from hurt and pain from people around them, that they do know you, Father, but they want to see you. Father, thank you for coming and dwelling in us. Thank you, Father, that we are pressing. We know that you're going to manifest yourself through us. In Jesus' name, amen.